Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it
everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk What Works. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk What Works is on the air. And tonight, we're discussing the topic, we're going to need some decorum from the dais. Since August 16th, our current council and mayor have been under fire for the way they treat speakers. But last week, things got worse as Adrian Smith and Bob Willoughby were sent letters saying they were banned from City Hall until 2024. However, we're going to need some decorum from the dais. We have repeatedly seen the mayor and council treat the dais like a middle school playground. We've seen them bully speakers, laugh at speakers, falsely accuse speakers, and now ban speakers who disagree with them. So, Madam Mayor and Council, we're going to need some decorum from the dais or more protests are to come. That's what we're talking about tonight, y'all. I see Adrian Devine is on the phone. We want to hear what the heck happened. Bob Willoughby was supposed to be joining us for this discussion. I'm not sure where he is. Emmanuel Mata is on the phone. Mata, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, y'all, listen, things are taking a turn for the worse. Down there, that's a hospital term, but things are taking a turn for the worse down there at City Hall. We first saw the decline when the late Thomas Tolankazi, who was friends of all of ours, starts speaking at council and being very vocal about the things that he was seeing going on in the city and things that were on the agenda, and he was speaking out against them. And we saw the council try to shut him down. So, Adrian, do you believe that's what's happening with you all, you and Bob Willoughby now?
I didn't catch that last part, Kara. Can you repeat the last part?
We saw how the council appeared to try to shut Thomas Tolankazi down by changing rules. For anyone who doesn't remember, one night Thomas Tolankazi spoke on every agenda item on the bulletin that night. And he did it for the reason of showing that they were no longer reading the description. So he would then read the description and then explain what the particular item was about. And so after that, we saw them change the rules about how many times you could speak. So do you believe that was the beginning of them trying to shut people back?
I believe very much so, Kerry, and hey to you, Emmanuel. We know that Thomas was the smartest guy in the room. You know what I'm saying? By far, he was the smartest guy in the room, and he showed it by how he conducted himself. You know, in a sense of he understood the issues. He never let them rattle him. He always stood firm on what he was discussing, and also he was well versed and knowledgeable in the things he was discussing. And Emmanuel was sharing the video he sent me earlier, it just reminded me of how nasty these particular individuals are. And Thomas, like you say, being the smartest guy in the room, when they change, you know what I'm saying? What they say, when you trying to get in the system to beat them, join them, when they change the system, try to change how they did it, what he do? Okay, we going to adjust. When they change, we going to adjust. So he was more or less like our knighted leader when it came to us being within our little group going down to die. So, yeah, that's – and it's been ongoing, you know. That started the trip. That started them rolling back how they do things. And this also, Kerry, they have done this to benefit them more or less. You know, we already agreed that they are self-serving, but the schedule change, it benefits them and not the people. And I'm gonna say this part. They don't. That's why I did what I. And we'll get to that. That's why the city staff, I feel, are the ones who the city staff do all the work. This council gets the credit, but if you observe not only just council meetings, how they conduct themselves in work session, they don't know what the freak they are discussing or debating on or talking about. That's why when they get in the dot, it's just a show. So yeah, I do think, Kerry, this has been an ongoing, and our presence and our voices. Collective presence and voices have been kind of like the just a little wedge to kind of stop this dam from bursting. You know, it's like a dam bursting; it's getting cracks in it. So we've been kind of like the dam is burst. It's burst now.
Monty, you know what? When you and Thomas were going down there the night that we first start seeing them putting people out. And it seemed to progress, was with Mata. Mata, that first night they put you out, what was that about?
It was Bob and Thomas were commenting on, I guess they were doing an agenda about putting feminine products in restrooms somewhere. I'm not sure if it was City Hall or schools or somewhere, right? And, they were saying the comment was about, see, because Thomas figured out how to be on topic, but at the same time address like, say, for instance, they rather address this than what's happening at schools, which kids are getting bullied and all this other stuff. And they didn't get it because they try to tell him that he didn't understand women things because he's a man. And how dare him invoke something he doesn't understand. And all I was doing was filming it. Like, I was in the background filming it. And then when I got to the side where all the media normally stands at, that's where I was standing at. And the sheriff, the marshal, he told me, you can't be right here. I said, man, I said, sir, can you please be quiet? You're ruining my shot. So I stopped my camera, and then I started again. And when I started again, that's when the mayor told me, she's like, hey, man, that's distracting. You two, get out of here. Because she kicked out Bob first, and then she got rid of Thomas. But they did it, like, disrespectfully, right? Because this is the issue that I don't understand, right? Everyone signs up for their 3 minutes. That's all we get out of the whole week, 3 minutes. And their only job is to sit there and listen to those 3 minutes, see? And then they didn't like it that Thomas kept addressing these issues. And it got worse when we were finding out that they were receiving money when they were campaigning for, like, to run for mayor or council. And then that's when Thomas started saying, if you took money from this certain group, either address it or recuse yourself from voting because you took money from them. And then that's what changed the whole little thing, where now there's no way you can be off topic anymore, because you're forced to whatever agenda item you sign up for. Say, for instance, there's 3 different ones you signed up for. It doesn't matter, because you're only going to be allowed to talk about those 3 things in 3 minutes regardless, because that's how they made it.
And you know what? Go ahead.
And all it is, it isn't because they're coming. No one's coming over there being disrespectful, because all it is, people are trying to expose what's going on. People want answers, and nothing is ever said, so it's easy to say, like, that Bob's a bad guy or Adrian's a bad guy, because they don't never get to complete their sentences. Mm-hmm. And it's automatically turned into an attack. But why is it an attack if you don't understand what they're saying? Because there's been too many instances where these council members and mayor don't understand what the person is saying. And it's like, rather than sit there and ask, what do you mean? It's always like, you're off topic. You know, they've made it to where it's impossible to be off topic. So how can they keep saying people are off topic? That's why they're telling them, hey, be quiet, stay on topic. Because their job isn't to tell us that we're point of order and all that isn't for us. It's for each. It's for them. It's for them to use on each other.
Right. You know what?
That's what they said. Go ahead.
And I agree with you. I think they have made it such a hostile environment down there that it's like the people against the council. And it shouldn't be like that. It's just 3 minutes, folks. If y'all don't have 3 minutes for each speaker, you should go home, do something else. But if your time is such that you don't have the time to listen, or you don't care about why the speaker took the time out of his life, you know, whatever amount of time it took him to come through traffic, get in there, sit down, and then wait to be called. If it doesn't matter to you that person came down there with something to say, there's something wrong with you, and you should not be on that diet. And I think that's what they're forgetting. They are elected officials, and they're supposed to be working for the people. But on some level, it feels like they don't get that far. You know, they don't understand what their job titles entail. And so it seems like to me they're acting like the people that come down there, like the Star Telegram article said about Thomas after he passed away, that he was a gadfly, which is like an annoying, you know, person. Well, how can you be an annoying person when you're coming down to talk to your city council about issues concerning the city, and you're a taxpayer? So it's like the whole thing is like very, very strange. Like, I mean,
the way they meant it was that he's an annoyance because we were finding things and he was finding things that they didn't want no one talking about. Mm. That's why it's annoying. That's why it's frustrating. That's why they don't want no one talking about it. Because it's easier to do things that people feel some type of way about if no one knows. Like, how can you get offended that your neighborhood's getting no funding, that they're, all your project money is going to another neighborhood because they messed over on somewhere else?
Mm.
How do you get right. offended if you don't know?
Mm. Not only that, you're
really mad about the fact that not only was he able to pinpoint these certain things, he was showing other people how to do it. And look, pay attention to what they told you. We talked about this at the work session where you were able to come, but why don't they ever say that? Just like he found out how to go to the CCP fund meeting. You could sign up for that and go speak at their meeting. And that's what they're saying. That's what the whole situation was about that he brought up, that the same people that are on the mayor and city council are the same people that are on the board of the CCPD fund. So it's like they're approving money that they're – it's like a conflict of interest when you – the fact that they receive money from the POA. And then not only that, look what they did with – whenever they picked – they did that, took the money, and it came to the Citizen Review Board, they voted no because they got paid to vote no. I don't care what no one said.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say it like this. In my opinion, that's – and I waited because if I came with it, I'd be crazy. But look what they did. They put something that the citizens that are being over-policed, don't get it twisted, not the ones that are getting served because they're loving it. There's nothing wrong with the officers serving their community, their neighborhood. We're talking about the ones that are over-policed because they need these areas to be a certain way because it panders to their solicitation of getting revenue, getting money, because that's all it's about. We're not people to them.
Right.
Because when you get into an office and you make a certain deal, you have to let go of what your mother taught you. And that's right and wrong, decent human being, human decency. You have to let it all go because if you don't, you will be replaced.
I agree. And Chris, your phone is open. You know what I think? I think what I saw when she said to Adrian the other day, we talked about that in work session. Excuse me, Mayor, it's not our job to go to work session. It's you all's job to go to work session. So if we miss it, hello, if we miss it, we miss it. So you can't tell a citizen like you should have been at the work session? Where do they do that at? So I don't know how you felt, Adrian, when she said that to you, but my thought was he doesn't have to go to work session. You don't have to go to work session.
And Carrie, I couldn't – my rebuttal was, and that's now that, you know, after the fact we had the conversation, I'm like, it was in my head. Hold on. Whether I watch it or I show up at a work session, guess what? Reality check, Mayor Parker. Even if I'm at a work session, I don't have a say. I can't raise my hand. Like I don't have 3 minutes in a work session. You dumb broad. I don't have a. But you did that. What you call that gaslighting or however they do it? Because the fact I told you, I'm not just meant y'all. I'm trying to figure out why a business. This is like the third business that has ended their contract early with the city of Fort Worth. Yeah, you don't want people to know that. You know why businesses ended their leasing contracts? With this is the third one over why are they ending? Oh, y'all don't want to answer that question. See, that's we talked about this in work session. Anyway, listen with it.
And nobody brought it up. So that's what she said.
Right.
Let me shoot a quick brief. And this is just to encapsulate that there's a few key words that we've been talking about. And one of the things is gaslighting. And and that doesn't just go with the dais. That goes with the – that's like the that's like the nucleus of the whole scheme that they have in this city, is that as soon as anybody scratches their head, they become allergic. They become they're severely allergic to any criticism, any questioning, and any dissent of the people who have valid grievances. And you've seen this with the, if you really look into the, I've looked at this extensively, and I've communicated it to you, but I won't get into the details. But a lot of scandal has been happening over the years, and if you really connect the dots and play the game and lift, wipe away the whitewash, and you can see the what's going on here with Fitzgerald, with Noakes. There's a very evil and conniving subterfuge that goes on with controlling minds and controlling people. And it's gross. It's disgusting. And I mean, I just got into looking at this character that's come up on the scene a few times with you, Manuel Mata, and then with in the most extreme cases, there's this character Philip Swift. He's the chief of the Marshal Service for the city. And man, this guy. I mean, I haven't been able to track anything down that he's got some dirty deeds, but the dude has tattoo sleeves all over him, and you know, I'll just leave it there. And what they did to Thomas, you know, Thomas is the one who lifted the veil and started to let the people see, and this is why they became so rogue. Was he lifted the veil and he let the people see what kind of belligerent tyrants are running this city? And I'll shut it off.
I agree. You know what? In my opinion, what I see is they're literally. I mean, you got to really pay attention. Adrian Smith and Bob Woodley are the most outspoken people that are going down there to council and speaking now. And that saying, it almost seems like they're trying to discourage people from coming. Like they would rather people not come at all. And so we're talking about billions of dollars a week are being moved around down there. And we're taxpayers, but they don't want us involved in the business at all. Don't ask no questions, you know, just let us do this, like Elizabeth Beck told somebody one time. Like they're the professionals and the people are not. And so
condescending snobbery.
Exactly. And the fact that no descriptions are read of with the agenda items, you know, and so the screen, Adrian, I heard you say something about the screens are not right anymore. So the overhead screen that's supposed to tell you what the agenda item is about, that's not correct anymore?
It used to allow for each agenda item, you know, like before they made the changes, each agenda item came up one by one. You say, hey, and they'll vote it. Yeah, either boo, boo, boo. They go one by one, right? And then if there's somebody that's signed up to speak or whatever, they'll stop, pause, or they stay up there, you do your time, and then they'll just vote. They used to vote everything one by one, you know, vote, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now they just do it all consent. And then whatever's up there is not what you're speaking on. You say, hey, and you know how we go down and say, what am I speaking on? They try to say, well, you know what you signed up for. That's why we try to get the mayor to repeat it. Why don't you repeat it so the people can know? What did I sign up for? Because she got everything in front of her. The mayor has everything in front of her. The names of all the people signed up. What we signed up for, because you've heard her repeat. You signed up for this. Oh, Bob. No, you signed up to speak on this. Why are you talking about this? You off. When they say you off. They got it in front of them. Much as they try to act like they don't, they got everything in front of them. So you can't see it in the gallery. So people just. That's why I say in the printouts they give, those are limited. They only have a handful of printouts on this desk outside the council chambers. So it's first come, first serve. So like when I was previous year, I said, hey. For those who you heard me read out the MMC that I was going to be discussing, and I said for those who have documentation who can follow along XYZ, you know, or if I was, normally I'd say the page and blah, 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 if they have it, because I know some of the people in the gallery have already picked up the handouts, but those are limited as well.
And, they talk about this procedure manual. I'm going to be short and brief and collected. They got this procedure manual that they used in those letters on Bob and everything, and they talk about it. And it's like what Mata said, this technical point of order stuff, that's for them, you know, really. Mm. Now, if somebody's being disorderly, vulgar, and profane, then, yeah, they can flush them out. But if somebody's coming in there and they're animated, and they when the people come to participate in the civic exercise of this city, dissent is part of that. It's part of the function in free society, you know, a dissenting opinion, and devil's playing the devil's advocate, you know, and so we've got this manual. But I'm going to sit there and say, with what I saw, I really parallel what I saw going on with Adrian. You know, they kind of had Bob in the corner because, you know, but in the case of Adrian these last 2 weeks and the other times, and the other times that he's kind of got some rash reaction from him. But I parallel this to exactly what happened with Mata at TAD. And I mean, that was a county thing with the sheriffs, but it's the same playbook that we don't know about. When you show up to participate in the Open Meetings Act and you kind of have a film and you're a little bit assertive about your rights, they're allergic to that. And when somebody tells you to stand in a freaking 3-foot by 3-foot box before the meeting's even started and this and that, whatever, they tell you to go stand in this box like you're a freaking dunce going to the freaking with your nose in the corner, you know? And you react to that and you say, what the fuck? Then all of a sudden you become a disturbance because you've challenged this malarkey that is totally not acceptable. That's when a public official tells you to stand in a box, that's called unlawful restraint by the penal code.
But to be clear, that happened at TAD and City Hall.
But I'm paralleling that with exactly what happened. You show up, Adrian showed up those 2 days, and, you know, he was a little – that situation with Lauersdorf. Lauersdorf was up there fucking beating his chest like a trying to defend the honor of you know, defend the honor of whoever. Like, he's going to become the new warrior. And really what I've seen happen is over the last session of council before the election – we had the chief of the poop, the point of order police, was Jared, and it seems like they're playing a shell game with that, and he's kind of hand that badge over to Lauersdorf. And so basically what Adrian was sitting there saying is, don't be trying to interrupt me. He went up there and says, try that with me. And then they mixed it up and turned it in. Oh, just get out. You've seen it with Peyton. I've seen some chaotic stuff at other city halls around the country where this kind of thing happens and there's lawsuits and everything. And you can't do that. This city is exceptionally off the rails. It's a shit show.
I agree. And you know what, Adrian, one thing I noticed of the game that they play down there, and I hope y'all listen because I'm going to call you out, this whole thing of interrupting the speaker. So it's to throw you off, and then you address them, then all of a sudden you're done. Because that's what it seems like is happening. Several times it looks like you were interrupted. Is that what's happening?
And look at her. You notice times that people have been off, not off task, but they want to worry what's going on. You heard the mayor say, oh, don't worry, we'll restart your time. So what Gina did was, okay, so we can – so people can know we're not being one-sided with the story. That's why when I went live, I let people know, okay, I got the rules of procedure, right? So when it comes to the rushing, I'm going to read real quick. Rules of procedures, 5.4.2.3, general requirements for addressing the city council at public meetings, okay? Now, one part says, in speaking on a posted agenda item, a city council at a city council meeting, the speaker shall limit his or her remarks to the subject of posted agenda item that is under consideration. All right? Here we go. The purpose of the public comment is to allow residents and other interested parties to address the city council. All speakers shall address the chair and the council members, not the audience or the city staff. I'm bringing this up for a reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. Addressing anyone other than the city council, including members of the audience, is disruptive and detracts from the intended purpose of the public comment and is grounds for removal from the meeting. Right? No person other than a council member or a person having the floor should be permitted to enter into discussion directly with a member of the city council without permission of the chair. Now, I brought those points in there to show people that they painted us as disruptive to paint a narrative. That's why they removed us, right? But listen here. Mm-hmm. There are numerous times where we've gotten off the agenda. And they what have they done? They've corrected us. And then what you do? They say get on task, you know, get back on task, mm-hmm. or you off task, you know. Sometimes it's a little viciousness in it because you can hear it in the tone, you know, the little nastiness mm-hmm. in it. But other times they try to do it slightly. Bob, you're off topic, blah blah blah. So easy. That's an easy fix. All right. Sometimes we get off topics, mm-hmm. right? We're not supposed to remember everything, but sometimes we get off task. As far as addressing the audience, right? People in the audience. Mm-hmm. You can't be talking to the people. Okay, cool. I'm off task. But the thing about it is, when I'm up doing my time, like, you correct me, but you're not supposed to continue to just badger me. You know, that's my 3 minutes. I'm trying to regain my time, okay? So if I'm off task, you got two options. Either you say, hey, you off task, sit down. You don't say what you want to say, I try to get back on task, and then you say, I'm out of line for trying to get back on task, and then you remove me. So what Gina did that following week, this past mm-hmm. Tuesday, I think it just trickled over from the 9th when I did what I did to Laura stuff. And if you listen to it, Parker said, okay, you can't yell out a term while they're up, right? I've done it anytime they're there and I disrespect the people, yeah, I tell people, I'm in a gallery, I yell out of turn. I'm telling that's wrong. Let that person speak. You know what I'm saying? You can't right. yell out. But y'all are wrong. So we can't have the rules and break the rules and then expect everybody to follow mm-hmm. them. So what did I tell her? I say, Laura, I didn't say nobody. I said, Larsdorf, try that with me. I called them by name, right? They said we're supposed mm-hmm. to address the council only. I didn't say mm-hmm. Mr. Such Such. I said, Larsdorf, try that with me. Try that with me. I said, try that with me. We said, Adrian, you're done. What? I said I was addressing him. She said, no, you're done. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I directly went to him. The 22nd, but Gina, so, trying to belittle me. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Before she said you were done, she said you cannot talk to the audience, remember?
She said, that's what she said. She said you cannot talk to the audience. You hear me say? I wasn't talking to the artist. I was directing it at him. No, you're done. You know, that's
listen, we don't have we don't have to have in an extreme case, in a screen case, if you're really sitting there, you know, they did the same thing to freak, it's the same thing they did to the Toastmaster General Thomas Torlincasi. And Thomas Torlincasi has his rhetoric. He knows how to control his language. He knows the meaning of what he's saying. And so they were absolutely wrong, but they came at him talking about, oh, you're just here. If you want to put on a show, go to Casa Mañana and all of that, all of this stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm an English major, and if you analyze Thomas, and if Thomas has trophies, he knows what he's doing in that realm. So there's a thing in rhetoric where if you say we the people, if you just mention we the people, then they're going to get that twisted and say, oh, you're talking to the audience. You know what I'm saying? That's a distraction. They're throwing that out there. Now here's the proper way here's how it's usually handled. It's like with what Bob does, and he turns around and he starts, you know, he goes off the rails. But here's what the professional, candored city council member should do in that case. Let him speak to the 3 minutes. After he's done, say, Bob, at the end of this, the mayor or one of the city council members or the city attorney can sit there and say, Bob, at the end of this meeting, I need to meet with you. because we just have to discuss something about decorum off to the side. But don't make it a public spectacle like they did with Adrian and say, reading is fundamental. You shall not address the staff. But the ambiguous part that you get in, and I'll be done, the ambiguous part that you get into with what you're talking about, oh, you shall not address the staff, you shall not address this, that, whatever. But understand that's confusing, and it's a distraction, and it's an improper rule. It's ambiguous because the city staff, the city manager is city staff, the city secretary is city staff. If those – the police chief is in there, and they are in there because they are a legitimate part of the panel, right? They're required to be there. So they comprise – By the legal rules of who you're addressing, if you're addressing, you have a right to, just like what he pointed out, the city citizens have a right to criticize the acts or omissions, and, you know, Peyton Jackson made the same mention. That's not a city thing. That comes from the state mandate on open meetings. Peyton used the state mandate on open meetings that said citizens shall have the right to address directly criticize by name, by this, that, whatever. That's our right. That's the people's right. If they have a grievance, what good does it sit there to say? What good does it do to sit there and say, I have a grievance about this mysterious, unknown, and unnamed person who did this and did that? That doesn't leverage anything. So they're wrong about that. So don't get confused. You have a right to sit there and call shit out.
And real quick, if you just look at the pattern of Maddie Parker, her favorite – now that I watched that video, Maddie was sharing with me. She told Thomas what she says.
A performance.
A performance. So she did say that when she said – these are her favorite things. She had the same rhetoric with Thomas. She did it with Bob. She did it with Donnell. And she just previously done it with me. This is not a sideshow.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I'm trying to. May I help me to understand what you mean when you say we're done? And what's behind we're done? And what's this about putting us in a space of like we're performers? Because if we were just down or just to be doing something, if I was just down, I'm gonna speak for me. If I was just down or just to be doing something, I'd just show up for public comment. That's just raw. That's just you giving it to them raw. But no. I literally take time out to because I'm just this rubber stamping, this rubber stamping, how y'all doing taxpayer dollars, damn. I'm somebody, and maybe this should have discouraged me because I was like, damn, they ain't going to change. You know, some people get discouraged. Well, they ain't going to change. I might as well just figure out something else. No, I figure eventually, if I keep going, somebody going to say, damn, we can't pass this through. Why are we passing this through? But they don't. They just rubber stamp everything and. I mean,
well, I want to apologize. I want to apologize to you real quick, Adrian, because I think I'm kind of I'm partly responsible for them putting the mark on you. Whenever we collaborated on that, getting drunk and playing shooting craps with the people's money.
Yeah,
that was your first point of order foul.
I'm going to say this as the mayor. And the council, they need to understand the speakers are not your children, and they should not be addressed as such. The term "you're done" is inappropriate. You know, when Thomas Trolling Kazi said to her, "We're David and you're Goliath," she said, "You're done." First of all, this is not Charles' house. The city call belongs to the people. Get that. You guys are putting people out like they're coming to your personal or home. That's not your home. It's not your house. You guys have come in there and rearranged all the furniture. I mean, changed all the way the business is run down there. That's not what the people want. The people put you all in those positions to do the will of the people. And that's what I see has changed. And I think the only way, and I'm going to put it on record, the only way to fix this is to do a recall on one of them. That's the only thing that's going to make them wake up and realize these people ain't playing. If you don't come down here and do business like the people want you to do it, you're going to get gone. And I think that's the only thing that they're going to understand, because I think the disrespect, the utter disrespect that we see coming from the Dais week after week after week. First of all, who the hell reprimands the people on the Dais? If the people on the Dais are out of control, all we see is them reprimanding the people, the taxpayers. But who reprimands them? Who tells them when they're wrong? We have not seen one time since they have been there that anybody has been corrected for their behavior. Louderdar had no right to go to Bob Willoughby's job. That was just stupid. First of all, it's stupid. It appears that he may have been drinking from what observers have said. Why would you go to a man's job intoxicated and heckle them? I mean, that's just stupid. But did you hear the city say that he got reprimanded? No.
That is one of the things. I was right there with you. It was on the tip of my tongue. I was like, you got to it. But that is something that anywhere else in the world where they have an actual functional candor amongst the city council, Lauersdorf would have got himself publicly censured. And he would have had to stand up at city council and make a public apology. That's just how it works everywhere else.
He should apologize to Bob Willoughby for even coming to his job. And then to say, I'm going to harass you on your job like you harassed me on my job. Sir, this isn't a regular 9-to-5. This is an elected seat that you allegedly got elected to. But you don't even understand. It's not the way you're making it out to be. It's about people, if they don't agree with what you're doing, they have a right to challenge an elected official. So it seems like that's one thing that they don't seem to understand on the Dais. They don't want to be challenged about anything. Then y'all need new jobs. Y'all need to, first of all, be self-employed. Where nobody can challenge you on anything. Because as long as you're an elected official, the rules say that you have a right. Isn't that in the book, Adrian, that they have a right to be challenged or people can address
criticized
when they disagree with them?
They said, yeah, it reads, the public has the right to criticize policies, procedure, programs, or services of the city or of actions or omission of the city council or city staff. That's our. Mm-hmm.
And that's the one. I'm going to quick it. That policy right there is a transplant from the state. That's the superseding authority on Open Meetings Act. All of this other stuff that you're talking about, that the city has the right to make these rules, this, that, whatever. But the caveat in the state thing is they have a right to make rules so long as they don't manipulate what that law states. So you can't make a rule on policy. So that thing that you're talking about, that you can't address city staff when you speak, that's a violation of the Open Meetings Act. It don't matter what your order, what your point of order, any of that, when you're dealing with the public and that public person is standing up there for his 3 minutes and he's peaceably expressing himself, even though it's animated and he calls somebody out, I'll be honest with you, under the Public Meetings Act and the superseding state law, that comment that you made about shooting craps with the people's money, getting drunk and shooting craps, that's absolutely allowed under this. That thing that you're talking about, that you have to stay on topic or you can't talk to the staff, that's a permissible rule.
They don't realize the contradiction that they put in this language, because in one part I just read that they say we can only address the council, right? You can't address the city staff, and you can't address the audience. But on what I just read to y'all, they said, hey, we got the right to criticize city staff or council. Now look here, I don't ever go down. You never hear me go down to badgering staff. I've always, because I know who's doing the work. You know what I'm saying? I know who's doing the work. So what they got me on was, okay, since they said disruptive, right? On the ninth when I did what I did, right, as I was going out, you wicked. They said, okay, it came out of the Star Telegram's mouth. I know the cat was going to get out the bag while I was really trespassed. You wicked. Why you didn't trespass me? Then you said, you make it. They can't do business. They can't conduct. You disrupting me. Okay. That was worse than when I was in the hall. I was in the chambers doing that. The 22nd, I was outside of the chambers. When they initially put me out, I was still in the hallway rant. Like, I didn't do, like, same thing y'all heard me on the floor. I said, I didn't do it. What did I do? I didn't do nothing. As I left out the chamber that time, I made my outburst when I got outside them doors. Listen, anybody who's been at that city hall, they always say you disrupting business. When them doors open, you hear everything. When the doors close, it is what it is. Why do you think the mayor stopped the council meeting on the 9th? Well, no. Why do you think she stopped the council meeting on the 22nd when Cliff Sparks went out there? She said, oh, wait. Yeah. Can somebody see? Yeah. He was a rah, rah, rah. He ran out there. The doors were open. You can hear everything. So when those doors are open, you can hear everything. When those people, after they give presentations, all them groups of people go out there, them doors are open. You hear everything. It's noisy. So how am I disrupting business? The mayor, the only thing that the mayor is that she's butthurt about, she's in her feelings about. But remember, Mayor, you brought this on yourself. You said, hey, I've been called worse than that. Okay. I made sure on the 22nd, when that door opened, I was right there at the stairs on my way out. I made sure. I want to see if she's gonna stand true to that. If she's been called worse than that, and you can hear it in the background when I called her, and that's what the Star Telegram said. He said that's why they come on, man. You said I was disruptive though. I wasn't. I think it was more or less.
That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Karen.
That's what I'm saying. We don't need to get. You don't have to explain that because there's provocation. There's a thing called provocation. You can't call somebody
that.
Just if the what
no,
Gina
no.
said. Let me tell you what Gina said to you when she made the crass remark to her, and she repeated herself. She interrupted your time, and she repeated herself and started with that reading is fundamental and you should not speak. That's not the chair. All she needed anyway. The point that I'm making when she said that it was mm-hmm. within your right to say F you. And I mean, say the word out. That would not.
That's
be
what I'm saying.
Fuck you.
All I'm saying is, I just because when I posted that video of me trespassing, you know, stuff like that arouses people's emotion. They see law enforcement, they wonder what's going on. So I later went live and told people, let me give y'all a perspective of everything that's going on. Now, that part I'm sharing it because I want people to know that I was nowhere in the chamber. They said disrupting, they can't do business. They said the poor thing, they said, you disrupted, you can't do business. You keeping us from doing business. My thing is this. Y'all didn't trespass me initially. They didn't trespass me initially. You know? And nobody said, my understanding is when you trespass me from the meeting, I still had access to that building. You know what I'm saying? I still have access to that building. You trespassed me from the meeting. I'm not going back into the meeting. I came back
but
in
I'm
the building, right?
Something real quick.
Hold on. Let me finish my point. I came back in the building. I came back in the building. Sit at that table. Cut my phone on. I was sitting. I was still watching the council meeting. I was waiting. I said, you know what? I'm trespassed out of council. I'm going to go to the CCPD meeting. That's my right. Nobody said you were trespassed. You can't come back in none of these. Nobody explained that to me, right? I sat there. Mm-hmm. I sat there and watched that video. Again, Mr. Sparks, when he was through doing what he's doing, he came right back out as he was leaving. He was in a mm-hmm. big roar. He was going on and going on. I didn't engage none of that. Sir, I guarantee you all, I sat there for another hour up to damn near when the council meeting was open before I was trespassed out of that. That's when the video clicked on. So I want people to know, I wasn't initially trespassed. Nobody never said, you can't come back in this building. Now they made it a point of, you can't come back in the building. You got to get an escort. You got to call a what? Damn, what did I do?
Here's one thing I'll make. there was something that happened in that meeting that people should try to pay attention to, because it's what I've kind of like said, that man, that older man that speaks, he's a real calm tone guy and a kind of a neutralist. He made
George
mentions
Kyle.
About the, yeah, the guy, well, he's a smart dude and I see him everywhere. He knows those procedures. And this is what I've learned. This is what every other city council, I've been to other city councils. Yeah, Jim DeLong. He's the one that made the point. He was suggesting it, but he knew what the rules was. He was being politely. He was just trying to weave it in there, telling him this is how it's supposed to happen. But he was saying it as a suggestion. The city attorney, I think, by the rules of procedure, is the what they call the parliamentarian. So when they come up, so all of this getting people kicked out and this. If there's any kind of questions about the propriety of what's going on in the chambers in the proceeding, the mayor is supposed to defer to that parliamentarian, and the parliamentarian is supposed to give her advice as far as so I'm just sitting there saying the parliamentarian should be the one to sit there. The parliamentarian should get, when they say point of order, they should have a little hearing, and then what the chair should do is defer. Give the parliamentarian, who is the city attorney, to sit there and say, well, technically Gina Bivens was the one who was the disruptor, and she interrupted she violated the procedural rules. And so really we shouldn't freaking sanction Adrian by kicking him out because he reacted to her interruption. We can ask him to calm down and come back and speak his 3 minutes later. You know,
Leanne Guzman's never going to do that.
What Jim DeLong was saying is the way it's supposed to be. They're not just.
Oh, I agree.
Maddie Parker is not supposed to unilaterally just dump on people like that.
Okay, look her, real quick. The chair, okay, because the Star Telegram, this is the lie he put in there. He said the chair may rule a public speaker out of order and in violation. The chair, I guess, Maddie Parker, out of violation of the council rules. A, if the speaker is speaking beyond the allocated time limit and refuses to yield the floor, right? The speaker remarks are not relevant to the agenda item under consideration.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Meeting, blah, 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 blah. C, the speaker repeatedly interrupts a council member. What about them interrupting us?
Exactly.
You see how, what about them in the room? This is my time. Why do I got to yield my time to, why do I have to yield my time to you? Why do I have to yield my time? The speaker's remarks are disruptive so as to disturb the peace and good order of the meeting through use of, without limitation, loud, threatening, hostile, abusive, vulgar, or obscene language. The speaker, they say the speaker while you're at the podium, not after the fact. Mm-hmm. Not what happens after the fact, vulgar, obscene language, or any other actions to disturb or calculate disturbance, blah, blah, blah. The speaker engages in conduct with the intent to break up the meeting of the council. Anyway, so what about me regaining my – what about my only – the only 3 minutes I got? Y'all can just interrupt me and not stop the time. Because I asked the mayor. I said, Mayor, my time. I pointed at the time. You all, when I walked away from the podium, I guarantee it was 1 minute and 20 seconds on that clock when she interrupted me. I said, Mayor, my time. You gonna do this? Stop my time.
Yeah.
She continued on. So I walked away to gather myself. Mm-hmm. I walked away. Mm-hmm. And I said no. I'm gonna finish this. I tried to walk back.
Yeah.
I said no. I still got time. She said no. You're done. When she said you're done. Did anybody hear the 30-second warning go off? Ding! The 30-second warning. Did anybody hear that? No.
She
said
exactly,
you're done.
She cut you off at exactly 2 minutes, and what I'm telling you is she was using that as an excuse because there is a provision in there that the mayor has the discretion to reduce time for the benefit of the meeting, not for retaliation. She's not allowed to use that as a retaliation for your dissent. So she does. There is a provision, and she's basically abusing that provision. She can knock it down 1 minute if she.
It's not in her. It, in where?
Yeah,
I got it in front of me, Chris.
I'm not saying that it applies. I'm not saying that it applies, but there's a provision in the procedures to where the mayor can reduce people's time to 2 minutes.
Go ahead, Karis.
First of all, there's a – I think what I heard from the city secretary's office one time is there's those rules, and then the city has some rules. So are these the rules from the city, or is those the general rules that you find online about how to conduct a city council meeting?
No, this is everything. The rules of procedure,
I think they got some. I'm just trying to tell you. They created their own.
That's the point. Real quick, that's the point that I'm making. They are authorized to make their – everybody's authorized to make local rules. Even a judge in a courtroom, he can make local rules like no shorts or no this, that, whatever. The problem is – listen, under the Open Meetings Act, that is the dominant authority. So what the Open Meetings Act – the Open Meetings Act authorizes the city to make local rules. But there's a thing in there that it says when they make local rules, it cannot it cannot take away from the state law. It just has to be something extra applicable at a local level, but it cannot be used in a way that violates. And whenever that's what I was telling you about the other rule about some stuff that talking to staff, criticizing staff. They cannot tell you that you can't address staff. That rule is a local rule, but it's in office.
We don't have access to whatever it is that they make up in their head. So again, she did that because she's on one. She did that because she could. I don't think she was thinking about I don't even think she was thinking about that. I got the power right to do this. I think she just did that because she realized that she said, I got him. When I walked away from the podium, she probably thought ahead, I got him. You know, she waits. I didn't blow up, see?
Yeah.
I just walked away. I sat down. I said, hey, I still got more time. No, you don't. You're done.
Wait. You did not sit down. You walked away for a second. You didn't sit down.
I walked away. No. I walked away for a second. Gathered myself. Turned back around. This one. I said, "Hey, I'm not. You know, you still talk, but no, Carrie. She's still talking to me. We still having a conversation. You know what I'm saying? She's still going on. I said, "No, I still got time because I remember, regardless of how I left the podium, I was trying to regain my time. I still had time. I didn't give my time for it.
Okay, first of all, we want to make it clear that WFAAP, that was not your voice that you heard. They heard screaming in the background, even though the article alludes or gives the reader the impression that they're talking about you, but that was not you.
No, that was not me.
Right? Okay. That was not
that was not me.
Okay, second.
That was not. Uh-huh.
That was who?
Uh-huh. That was Cliff Sparks. That's the disruption. That was Cliff Sparks. Okay. That's the disruption I was talking about. That's an actual disruption. That actually stopped the council meeting. I had to leave the chambers. I ran out of the chambers because I was trying to – when I heard a roar, 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 I ran out of the chambers because I already knew what was going on, and I started telling the marshal. The marshal holding them back. They holding them back. Bob is still standing over there. They holding them back. I said, ma'am, I said, Bob didn't do anything. I said, this is personal. She said, you know how they try to get you out the way. Then she tried to tell me, no, you go. No, you go. Get him out of here. Yeah. I said, I saw him speak. I ain't going nowhere. I said, I'm just trying to explain to you, this is personal. Bob did nothing to this man. This is personal. So I said, I'm going back in. I got to hold him here. I said, no, I'm going back in. I signed up to speak. I'll go back in, and then they tried to send somebody in there behind me, so I went back out, and I told them again, I signed up to speak. I was just explaining to y'all, that stuff is personal. Y'all don't even know what's going on with this. It's personal. That's when I went back when I came back in.
Huh? Was that the first or second time that he had done that in that lobby?
Second. That's the second time. He did it the week prior. He did it on the 9th? That was the second time he did that to Bob.
So did he get a trespassing letter?
Nope.
Okay. That part.
Nope.
That's just the first observation, y'all. And then the second thing, y'all, what I see them doing that it appears, you got people on the dais that appear to be annoying speakers. First of all, Jared Smith. I almost said something. Y'all had to catch myself. First of all, that's a piece of shit that you be doing with that corner order police bullshit. In my opinion, shut it down, Jared, okay? And Loud and Dark and Gina, that needs to stop. You all are annoying speakers, and you know it. You all are intentionally throwing the speakers off. That's a piece of poop. We're calling it a piece of poop. I mean, seriously, stop it already. Y'all are the problem when you do that. I mean, all this point of order. I mean, that's childish. I mean, y'all grown-ass people up there on the dais acting like middle school playground bullies. That's really how y'all are acting if nobody's bothered to tell y'all. That's how y'all look. You look like middle school kids being stupid and bullying people. It's not your house. City Hall belongs to the damn people. It's that simple. It's not your house. And somebody needs to get the balls to call a recall on somebody up there, make an example out of at least one, until you guys get the idea that you're working for the people. I mean, this is the most ridiculous past 2 weeks I've seen in City Hall history. I mean, to compare Betsy Price administration to this administration, it makes Betsy Price look like she was a queen. I mean, it looks like she sat on the throne with grace. It looks like what these people are going down is in disgrace. It should not be going down like this. Every week, y'all should be going down there to conduct business, not annoy speakers, not to cause disruptions to the speakers who only have 3 minutes. You guys are the annoyance. If the truth be known, you guys are acting like that you're like, I mean, I can't even describe what it feels like to be watching this whole thing when you're like, okay, you guys are dragging out meetings and causing chaos and causing confusion. It's very divisive. You all are pitting the dais against the people. How can you pit yourself against the people that voted you in, allegedly? So it's really weird vibe going on downtown right now. It's something that shouldn't be going on. I mean, and so for 2 weeks, for people to be talking about y'all for 2 weeks about y'all's behavior says to me somebody needs to catch a clue and realize that the people are tired of the way y'all are acting. It's that simple. Stop it. I mean, either go down there to do business or go home. Am I wrong, y'all? It's that simple.
But we can't contain it to 2 weeks. It's the same rerun we saw with Thomas. It's the same exact rerun we saw with Peyton whenever the Three Stooges got up there and fucking set her off. And then she became – and then Maddie Parker just – But those Three Stooges, Crane, Flores, and Blaylock, the other two really just kind of threw Blaylock into the fray because he got what he had coming later. But if you just replay, it's a rerun. It's a rerun. It's the new playbook, and it's basically meant to sit there and say, look, we don't want you telling us how to spend money. We do the shit our way.
And I think they count on us stopping, you know. I think that's what they are counting on us stopping, you know, and we're not stopping, you know. That's why, like they say, they left open the door for us calling in. So they want to, and I believe they left that door open to so they can prove that they been trying to be fair or whatever. But you go, all I think I'm gonna do is just I sign up like I normally sign up. You just have to call me, link me into the meeting, and I just stay in the queue till y'all call my name. But I'm not stopping because I'm not doing this.
And they got all their barking dogs. I ain't even paying no attention to it. They got all their little barking Chihuahua dogs out there on social media rapping a bunch of BS too about this, that, you know, trying to taunt things. It's just stupid.
And hopefully with this,
go ahead.
No, hopefully with sharing the video, then me going live, and then you all sharing what you all are sharing. Hopefully is getting more people to say, dang, okay, we need to. Cause main thing I've been stressing, I stressed it when I was running. We need. I haven't changed my message. We need people involved. We need people involved. Mm-hmm. We need people. This ain't about me. We need people involved. Think if two or three people is rattling the you know, rattling. Mm. Think about what 10 people can do, 20 people can do, 15 yeah. people can do. And listen, we know they don't like. Check this out. We know they don't like long meetings. The mayor when the mayor realized when people sign up like they sign up, a lot of people. The last week, one of those last weeks, she tried to say, "Listen, you all." She said, "Listen, you all. I noticed a lot of people signed up for this." She even did the math on the time. She said, "Now, if somebody hears somebody else saying something, you don't have to come up here. Because, see, they don't like the work. This council wants it easy. They don't like the work. I love it when a lot of people sign up, because I know, guess what? It's about to be a long night for this council. So all that trying to get home and be with your boo-boo and see your kids before they go to bed, it's not happening tonight. You're going to get out of here at 11 o'clock. If we had something to say, too. But I think more people involved, and I'm hoping that's what it's doing. That's why I shared to people. I said, hey, don't go to these. Do your homework. Go to this video. Watch it from this to this. You be the judge. Go to this video. Watch it from here to here. You be the judge. Go to this video. Watch it from this to this. You be the judge. I kid y'all not. I don't know what that did, but if you look at those, when you watching the live feed from home on YouTube, it's only a hand. It's really not a whole bunch of people watching, but those. I'm not taking credit, but it's a lot of people who them numbers don't went up on those YouTube videos, and I'm hoping and praying that these are people who got the message and said we need to just see what the hell is really going on. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it would be wonderful. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to mention, y'all, the protest was very effective this week, too. It was, because there was a protest going on outside and inside, and the message was the same. We tired of y'all. We tired of your behavior. We sick of y'all, and y'all need to get it together. And that was something we haven't seen. They got it from the media this week. They got it from the protest inside and outside. So to me, the message was unified. Y'all need to get it together. Period.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it's gonna be the real thing needs to be something needs to be happening. I don't know who it's gonna do, but I'm praying about it, because I've seen this same scenario play out in other places in Texas with city councils where the same scenario's been played out at the half intensity or way less intensity that we got going on here. And then up there in Flint and other places, if there's something, when this shit goes to a court, a federal court, that federal court straight up, right on before it even comes to hearing, as soon as the magistrate rules that there's a merit to the allegations and that he's gonna subpoena the respondents to come in and respond to the claim, people get an injunction. And when those judges issue that injunction against those city councils, you know what the injunction says in fancy words? STFU, and let the people speak. Give them three minutes and you STFU. It literally says that. That's what happened. They got an injunction on that chick up there in I think Flint, Michigan, that was the mayor, and she got caught in scandal and people were calling her out. And she kept on gaslighting them like that. And so they took it to court, and that court says, until this freaking matter is resolved by the court, you will STFU and let the people speak.
And you know, another thing, y'all, they need to start doing, they got to stop pitting the people against the people. We see the gatekeepers, they pit them against the other people. That shouldn't happen. And gatekeepers, I'm going to call y'all name, but everybody know who y'all are. I mean, because, you know, you get up there with those prepared speeches that they have, y'all talking about certain streets and shit that don't matter.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that part. And so, you know, you should not be pitting people against people. Y'all remember the night that they broke quorum. Does anybody remember how that went down that night?
Yes.
That they broke
quorum? Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
You want to remind us, Adrian, how to quorum went down or breaking quorum went down?
So they broke quorum. I think we were still at, what, 9 council members. I think we had five present? Maybe 5 or 6 present. Gina Bivens' Hit Squad, the Neighborhood Association was there, and all of this. Another thing, Kerry, let people speak according to how they signed up. See, when it's something favorable to them, everybody that's for, they put them all in order. Everybody that's against, no. Let people speak according to how they sign up. So that night, particular night, the Hit Squad, the Neighborhood Association, John T. White, whatever, those individuals, Gina Bivens' flunkies, they got up. They were very disparaging. Okay, they wasn't talking to. Remember, the rules say, okay, we gonna follow the rules. This is good. This is good that y'all say that. You're not supposed to say nothing to anybody in the audience, right? Right. You're supposed to keep your remarks to what's going on, right? Everything they were saying that night, it was disparaging against to Mr. Bob Willoughby. Bob was, you know, Bob's on faith. He don't worry about them folks. it's a joke to Bob. No sooner is Bob, and they all know who for to speak, no sooner that last speaker got through speaking, Elizabeth Beck, Miss Emotional Beck, she got up, she removed herself from the meeting. As soon as Bob Willoughby's name was called, Gina Bivens said, Gina was acting mayor that night. We got to put that in perspective because she loves that position. She just loved that position. So she was acting mayor that night. So she said, wait, I think we've, this is the only time I ever heard them refer to Leanne. Wait, I think we broke the quorum. Did we break the quorum? Leanne, can you explain it? They let the city attorney read. Can you read the blah, blah, blah? She read it, and they ended the meeting. And Bob was standing there, and I was like, what? And the meeting was over. The meeting was over after that because they broke the quorum. But they intentionally did it. They intentionally did that to Bob Willoughby. So people want to talk about we disruptive. What about when you got council members who have people trespass out of community centers, Gina Bivens? What about council members that use the neighbor, like Kerry just said, putting neighbors against neighbors? I mean, putting the people against people. You put a neighborhood association against this one man who's only coming after you. But you control all of that because you give them things. You know, you gave these people positions, so they loyal to you, Gina Bivens.
I don't know how long ago that was, but specifically, right on point with that, what they did in that freaking moment is what you call under U.S. Code 1983 deprivation of constitutional rights under color of law. That means that you manipulate the law for malicious purposes to retaliate against somebody. That means they deprived him of the right to speak at that meeting with intent to deprive him of his rights to his First Amendment right to a petition for redress of grievances, and they used it under the color of law, their authority as public officials.
Wait, so you mean an attorney such as Elizabeth Beck broke the law? And can have a complaint filed against the license for doing that?
That's the precise definition. That's what it was.
Don't do that again, Elizabeth. Mm-mm, don't do that no more. Yeah. First time, shame on you. Next time, there will be consequences. Because, y'all, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was obvious what happened. It was sad, and it was petty. And as I said in the intro, it was middle school playground childish. It really was. And so it's just so many things that, you know, you guys are throwing people out and banning people, but we've seen so much stuff come from the dais that, like, what the hell? Like, I mean, you guys don't realize taxpayers are funding those lights, those seats, you know, those cameras, all of that, and people tune in or come in to watch you all pretend like it's your house. and it's not supposed to be that way. Elizabeth, I don't know what law degree, who gave you a law degree for you to do it like that. I mean, it was very apparent. I think it was Jim DeLong was the last speaker, and the minute Jim DeLong finished, you saw her get her purse and just walk out the door. And y'all, literally, it was 3 minutes left in the night. 3 minutes. And it was over. And Elizabeth tipped out in the last 3 minutes knowing that she was breaking quorum. Nobody had
right.
ever
after Gina Bivens, in her position of authority, organized a freaking beatdown on Bob to disparage his reputation, as soon as it was time for him to respond and to give his rebuttal, bam, deprivation of constitutional rights and due process.
Right.
Well, wait a minute, y'all. Who was that they told Thomas about he was doing a show like at Casa Mañana? Wasn't that something like what you see at Casa Mañana? I'm just saying, y'all. A lot of the stuff that y'all...
It was scripted. It was a script.
It was unscripted. It was a play. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And so it's sad that the same things that you all are accusing the speakers of and banning them for is the same, if not worse, bad behavior that we've seen you all do. And so it's like, you know, you all accuse people of using the media. Y'all use the media. Well, y'all accuse people of coming up doing a show. What do you call that night? I mean, it's so easily read through, and it's almost like playing the whole city like we're stupid. You know, to say oh, they're disrupting business. Are y'all not disrupting business?
Right.
I'm just saying. So public comments come what, twice a month, and then you all have 3 minutes left in a whole public comment session, and y'all shut it down because Elizabeth Beck decided to walk out 3 minutes before. Tacky. I mean, and so, you know, it's just so many things that are being done from people who are supposed to be or call themselves leaders. You know, I think, wasn't it Lauterdorf that you all said to Bob? Well, I don't know, you didn't say that, but this is what he said to Bob one night. He said, bring it on. And Gina Bivens yells out, and he's an ex-Marine. Do y'all remember that night?
Yeah. Yeah. That's harassment. That's threatening. That could be terrorist.
And then you show up at the man's job.
Mm-hmm.
So Lauterdorf, like really, what you doing? I mean, and I don't know if y'all remember the night that Elizabeth Beck told Thomas Torlin Kazi, she said, "Shut up and listen. I'm talking now." And then she told him, she said, "Remember, you think you're smarter than the rest of us on the diet."
Like, here's the video. Manuel shared that video with me earlier.
No,
I'll send it to you.
Order for that.
Yeah. Nobody's kept one order. So, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff we see going on up there is not funny. I mean, it borders on tacky. I mean, just out and out tacky. We've seen them laugh at speakers. You know, I mean... I don't know. I mean, I don't even know I'm just saying from the last administration to this administration, we're talking about a steady decline.
Right.
Like correct. Where's the professionalism? And then for the mayor to tell the people we got to have decorum, Lord, do y'all understand the definition of decorum?
Right.
I mean, isn't it like, odd that she would use the word decorum, and yet we see the things coming from the dais and coming from the dais. Strange.
Yeah, and I made mention of the fact that the last wise person on the city council, whatever you have about him politically or this, that, whatever, but he was the one who was kind of he was unstained in his reputation as far as being a leader on the city council and holding it down to a good standard of candor was Firestone. And I figured out now I have no doubt that Firestone didn't tap out because he didn't want to be part of that gang the damn Little Rascals anymore.
And you know what? Adrian just made a good point too about you know people are supposed to be called according to the way they sign up. If somebody signs up Thursday night, they shouldn't be the last speaker on the program that next Tuesday. And the mayor has said, I mean, boy, the story she tells. I mean, she said on that dais, I don't see this list ahead of time. I don't decide the order that people are going in. I come on, lady.
Pinocchio was a real boy.
Huh?
Well,
She doesn't see it. And Pinocchio was a real boy.
Yeah.
She sees it. Because look at. Go back to the. Huh, Carrie?
I said she organizes it.
Go back to the controversy with the reading badge. You have everybody in order from the LGBTQ community, but she had already got the opposition. They were there tonight in order because they were there. She had already got the other people didn't show up. Them people that inboxed her or even who had a direct access to her email, the one she caved to, those individuals, none of them showed up. You know what I'm saying? And then go back to the another issue. She's done that before. The most recent. What was the most recent one? When they pitted the I think Beck has done it too with developers in her community. Echo Heights, the most recent one. Echo Heights. They had all of those developers. All those people got businesses praising and talking about this is good. And then here come the community was the last one to speak. How do you put the community, if you're going to do that, the community has the first say than a freaking business interest. They just doing
and
business.
And I remember that
people,
meeting.
The community lives here.
Yeah,
right.
And I remember that meeting, and one of the most macabre things, that goes right along with what Lauersdorf said is those people came out and poured their hearts petitioning for their grievances that from Echo Heights that time that they had that long stream of speakers. And then what Maddie Parker had the asinine audacity to do. Yeah.
Hey, it wasn't the Echo Heights people. It was the people from Rosemont.
Oh.
They were protesting that apartment that they were giving the soldiers because made a backroom deal with one of the guys that was the president
developer
of that neighborhood association called La Familia de Rosemont.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's
they
true.
Were
That's
protesting
true.
That thing. They had 500 signatures. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That was another one. But what we're
talking about. They weren't from
quick.
Echo Heights.
Yeah. No, but
Echo
the one was, that they're talking about. But what happened was that
yeah,
those
Echo Heights
Echo
was
Heights,
with the library they took from them.
They just make up the rules and say. Recently, I think the situation over in Hempel with that veterans building, as well as the Echo Heights situation, have both been recently, and they put the for and then the against. You know, and they really pit them against each other instead of saying, okay, however you signed up is however you speak. But they turn it into this us versus them, you know, arrangement,
right.
Which it just sends out the wrong energy. And so the speaker is supposed to be called based on how they signed up. That doesn't happen.
But about that Echo Heights incident that we were talking about, I remember those people came on and put on their presentation facts. They were prepared. They were well-spoken. And after it was all done, Maddie Parker had the asinine audacity to challenge them, to talk down to them and to condescend them. And she gave them a big old lecturesome speech in a monologue saying, business you want. I promise you, you're wrong. You're wrong. We're right.
Right.
You're wrong.
Right.
I don't live there. You live there, but you're wrong. You shouldn't be against this because this is something good for you. And that was the same thing that they did to – you're right about that, Manuel. They did – oh, Elizabeth Beck and Maddie Parker, and I think somebody else came on, and they were preaching after all of those people came up there, and they said, we're not hating on veterans. We're not hating on nobody helping them. We just said this is not a fit, and this is what we want where we live, not where you live. Put it in Tanglewood.
But you know what I see happening, y'all? Seriously. Somebody's going to get hurt down there. And I'm calling it because you know what? When it happens, I want to say I said this on such and such day. You cannot keep pitting citizens against citizens, creating a hostile and a tense environment, and don't expect somebody to do something stupid eventually. And it's going to be on the city council and the mayor and the city manager's head because y'all should not be doing that. I mean, every time y'all turn it into a them versus or two groups against each other. That's not the way business is supposed to be conducted. But everything turns into that. And it always seems like to me the developers win no matter what the people say about their communities. The developer wins. They just did that the other day, and they were talking about that over there at the near the Nash Elementary School, Charles Nash, I believe, Elementary School. Those people were telling them, don't bring those apartments in here. It's too close to the building.
Right.
What if it catches on fire? And basically, they still pushed it through.
Right.
We made them. I think Elizabeth Beck said we made a mistake. The city made a mistake. So and who knows if that's even true. The city made a mistake way back when, so therefore we're stuck with this, and we're moving forward. There wasn't adequate parking. The people repeatedly told them how much a problem that was going to be for people coming and going into schools, but the city didn't care. They did the same thing for Hemp Hill. The people in Hemp Hill said, don't bring the veterans building in here. It's going to be a problem. It doesn't fit with, you know, these single-family homes that we have in here. This is going to be two or three stories, and we have single-family homes here. Did they care? No. They tried to do the same thing in Rolling Hills, but the people pushed back. And then Echo Heights. You see the situation in Echo Heights. Those people are saying, hey, we can't breathe over here. The water's bad. The soil's bad. There's pollution in here. And then they have a business owner to come in there and say that he did soil samples and everything was fine. Come on, y'all.
Right.
I mean, but that's some bad karma on that. Y'all not bringing any of that to y'all's neighborhood. But y'all put it in other people's neighborhoods and tell them it's good for them. But that's some bad karma. And Echo Heights, Gina Bivens, you sitting on a toxic land mine right now underneath the house you live in Top 6. Now, God forbid some of that bad soil goes into your garden. Even though you bring it in dirt, it's still, God has a way of leveling the playing field. It's not right that you sat over there for 10 years and did not help Echo Heights. And knowing that they have problems over there. So you got to be careful. God has a way of putting right back in your lap what you did to other people. That's just called karma.
Carrie.
Say what?
Real quick. You know I love when we do this show, and we talking about stuff that's ongoing, and if it was something that was just one of those moments like, damn, did they really do that? I'll be trying to research and find it. I found the video. For those who are interested in Manuel, you know, you good at sharing this, you know, getting these videos uploaded. The October 18, 2022 is the video when they broke the quorum on Bob after they had used the neighborhood association to try to, you know, basically they might as well just put a wrestling ring out in front of the Diaz in front of City Hall and let them wrestle, because damn, that's like it was Bob against the whole damn neighborhood. So October 18, 2022 is the video where they broke the quorum on Bob Willoughby and ended the council meeting after he had got attacked by the neighborhood association.
Wow. And I suggest to you that it's the same crew and the same script that we're seeing with Cliff Sparks coming up there getting Buck in the chambers. You know, that's something that the city council has given sanction and pass to intimidate and to create a unwelcome environment for the dissidents, you know. But that thing about the Rosemont with that veterans thing, they went ahead. They mm-hmm. did do. I think they went ahead and did pass it over the people's hair. But you know what? I think the people in that neighborhood, I think they flipped the script. Somebody in that community, they flipped the script and they freaking tied that shit up in court. So it's on hold.
Well, they just passed another one. Well, hold on.
Yeah, they filed a suit.
Well, see,
and so it got froze.
That one's froze up in court, but at the recent council meeting, see, they knew what I was signed up for. Listen, this wasn't just shutting me down. They got Bob out of there. I was signed up to speak. I was going to speak on the – I'm going to let people know what I was going to speak on. I was going to speak on the one as it relates to the atheists having a right to display their banners, because y'all did it. We're going to be fair. And right. I was signed up to speak on the last agenda item was that zoning case where they got another development with 300-plus apartment units to be thrown right over there in the historic – In that historic area right off of Hemp Hill, listen. And guess what? This developer, they say, this is the rules. Developers supposed to set aside, right, a percentage of apartments for low income. This developer, this is per Star Telegram article, they already said no. We willing to pay whatever it is we got to pay, whatever fine we got to pay, because they let them know we not for the set. They already let the city know we not for the set aside nothing for low income. And then the city is giving them a $2.5 million tax abatement. My argument was going to be this. Listen here, this developer is already made it clear per Star Telegram that they're not going to set aside by law and by city requirements that they're not going to set aside these low income apartments, no matter what the city say. This developer is a multi-billion-dollar. It's a multi-billion-dollar company. They've already said they're willing to pay whatever the fee is, so they can offset that. So my argument was going to be, if y'all gonna pass this for them, don't give them a tax abatement. Let them foot the cost of everything. But what did Beck do? They always defer to the council member whose district it is. If she would have went no, they would have rolled with her. If she would have went yes, they would have rolled with her. But of course, she went yes. She said, "I'm going to go ahead and pass this. But can we see if it's something they can do as it relates to the law? You know, as to how can we? No, Beck. It's too late for that bullshit. Because you should have had a no vote. And let me tell you this, Carrie, a woman from that community." This before I got trespassed, this before they came to that issue. She rolled up with a stroller. I forgot her name. She introduced herself. She said, hey, Adrian, I'm such and such. I've heard you on, I know you be able to carry them and all that. And she said, she referenced Facebook. We was talking. She said, hey, I'm trying to see if some of my people are here. She said, because they thought the meeting was at night. You know what I'm saying? She was coming to speak out against. And I forgot her name. She was coming to speak out against it. But you know what? They didn't sign up because they thought the meeting was at night. So they missed signing up. So she was coming to meet up with us some people. And I said, hey, I don't know who's in there. I said, I just got put out. I can't go back in there. This was the following, you know, the 29th when I got put out. I said, I can't go back in there. I don't know who's in there. I don't know who signed up. I said, maybe some of your people in there. You just got to stick your head in there and see. She said they knew what they were doing. She said a lot of people was expected to be here, but they knew what they were doing. That community was coming out to speak against that development. If nobody knows it, this development, it's a 300-plus unit that's fit to go up on Hemp Hill. It's fit to go up on Hemp Hill. And Beck already, they already rubber stamped. It's done. It's nothing nobody can do now. It's done. Unless, like Chris said, unless they put a lawsuit up.
Tie it up in court, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And that's what I say. That's another state-mandated thing in the situation that you had going on. All of those consent agenda items, if you put that shit in court, if that shit comes to court before it's Actually, one of the injunctions is you can get them to tell her to STFU, but under the Open Meetings Act, you can also get them to make that void whatever items that you were signed to speak on, whatever they voted and approved on in violation of that they cut you off and you weren't allowed to present. They can I'm thinking that they can that the court can also cause them to void that vote and reset it for consideration.
Now let's talk about another thing. When they put Donnell Ballard out that day, Donnell Ballard literally went down there with a very legitimate concern. He said, you know, the city is not safe. You know, he said, Mayor, I challenge the fact that you're saying crime is down when I don't see that. And he was talking about the killings in the city. And she shut him down, had him put out, and then they spent 5 minutes talking about him after he left the room. And Maddie Parker was very condescending. Sorry, Donnell. You know, I mean, like he was slow or something. And so those are the kind of, you know, BS games they play down there that they, I don't know if they think is cute or they don't get that, you know, they're elected officials and they're supposed to be down there conducting themselves in a professional way. But, yo, I've never worked on a job where people act like that. I'm not even kidding. I mean, so you definitely don't expect it from, you know, elected officials. And so I never even understood, like, what happened, why he was put out when what he was saying was legitimate to anybody in the city. And then the next week, there was a major shooting, you know. And so I'm thinking to myself, God, the universe just responded and said, hey, what you did was wrong, and we gonna show you. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, at what point do they get that what they're doing is not working? I mean, this last 2 weeks, the city has said, hey, we ain't happy with y'all and the way y'all doing business. Right. And I think DeLong was trying to be very polite when he was saying to the mayor, maybe you shouldn't speak. Maybe you ought to just let Leanne say it because – Maybe it wouldn't be that back and forth.
Right.
Maybe it won't be that back and forth if you don't say anything. That's it, Maddie. You don't know how to be cordial, and the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So what he was saying was your tone, Maddie, is so inappropriate that you cause and stir up problems that this shouldn't have to occur. So he's saying, let Leanne do it. Now that, to me, y'all, was a mouthful. When somebody, even though he was nice in the way he said it, but I thought to myself, damn, he just told the mayor that you don't know how to talk to people. And that's
that
really the way I took it.
That was, the interpretation that I say is exactly what I said the court would do. That was a really passive and eloquent pacifist kind of way of saying STFU, Maddie Parker. You know, stop.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And Carrie, that was the, just for a point of reference, that was the June, I found that was for people who might be interested, that was the June 27th council meeting, and it began right at the, I say they could just start it right at the 44, right at the 43 minute mark. You just watch from there. That's when Mr. Ballard was up speaking. And
so that was June 27th.
June 27th.
And then July 3rd, we had all the stuff pop off in Como.
Right.
Well, here's another feature. Here's another real feature. You know, it was like with Ballard, with that situation that we just talked about with Ballard and with the situation with Bob, you know, They have been up there just kind of like letting their eyes roll, and they were letting Ballard freaking play his fiddle, and they didn't have no problem with any of it until he mentioned and he got on a little rant about the CCPD money, right? And that's the same thing, that happened with Bob when they, you know, Maddie Parker wasn't thinking about kicking nobody out. Of after Peyton, you know, but that CCPD thing is something that's got a pepper in her hiney.
And y'all, you know what? The CCPD funding, it ain't going away. It's not. I don't know what. Why y'all trying to hide? Y'all gonna have to do some audits up there because y'all just keep. You know, the more y'all try to cover it up from the Diaz, the worse it's getting. And it's not directed at any one person. It's directed at whoever's getting CCPD funding, and whether or not it is a document that has to be signed that says if you take this money, you. Cannot speak against council or the city. First of all, that money comes from a half, what is it? The money comes from the half cent sales tax. So that's not y'all's money to say that about, in my opinion. That's taxpayers' money, and that's federal money. So I don't even know if y'all can do that. So that's like a major question, Mark. Can you tell people what not to say just as you give them money? And if they don't agree, does that mean even if they qualify, they won't get the money? I'm just asking.
And then the other big crazy aspect is the way that they've transferred the title of CCPD board to city council. So it's basically them. And the problem that you have with the CCPD board is they're not posting that for the open. I don't think that they've complied with the Open Meetings Act because they do that on like an off day. This that they really try to make it to where people don't show up for that meeting. It's just kind of a go. They just kind of walk in there and then within an hour they just basically rubber stamp the paperwork and that's it. They don't have no. They're not posting that meeting on video. You know, and it's under sanction of the Open Meetings Act, and there's been no postings of any video of the procedures of the CCPD board. It should be on there just like a city council meeting.
Okay. Carrie, I didn't really mm-hmm. get the one point I missed when I went live is I didn't get to tell people how they have restricted me from City Hall. See, the language they made it like I'm a threat, right? So he tell me this is what they told me, all right? This is what it is. Okay, let me see. Let me go to what they say. Blah blah. I don't know about that. On any occasion when you need to visit City Hall for business other than city council meetings, you will be required to make an appointment 24 hours in advance of the visit. If because of an emergency situation, blah, 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 advance notice, blah, blah. Okay. So if because of an emergency situation, 24 hours advance notice is not possible, you will still be required to give at least 4-hour advance notice and provide proof that you were unable to give 24-hour advance notice. You see that? Look at this. To make your appointments, they give you the number, blah, 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 and inform – oh, to make your appointments, you must call the city marshal's office, all right, and inform mm-hmm. them when you will arrive, what your business is, with whom or what department you need to speak, and speaking in the anticipated duration of your visit. The advance appointment requirement is necessary so that you can arrange for your escort – while at City Hall. Wow, I am so important. I am so important.
Go ahead.
Let me finish the letter. Your visit to City Hall must have a legitimate purpose. If it is evident that you are scheduling more visits than are legitimate, or your purpose for any visit reasonable appears to be to harass the city employees, you may have additional restrictions imposed on you. On your access to City Hall. See what I'm saying? Oh, and another thing. When I enter the building, I got to let the person at the metal detector know with respect to City Hall, upon entering the building, you must inform the deputy marshal on duty at the metal detector station at which you have arrived, the name of the department or employee you want to visit. Then a deputy will escort you to your intended destination and will accompany you throughout the time that you have legitimate business at City Hall. I feel so special.
And here, let me tell you how to be special. Not feel special. Let me tell you how to be special. And this is going to kind of like taunt them, so you got to be careful and you got to organize it and make it come up. Expand your horizon and become make it your business. Make it official business. And what I would do is every 5 days a week, make it a routine to go up there and make a public records request for something that's legitimate. That say, I'm interested, and write it down on paper. Get you a little index card, you know. Get you an index card. Hold that, and when they come and they ask you what's your business, just hand them that. Hand them that business card. I'm here to do an open records request for these items because I have a need to know. I'm a public citizen, and then make them escort you and take their little 25, 35, 45 minutes that they need to do, you know. What happened with that request? What happened with that request to get all of those officers body cam footage and stuff from that incident at City Hall?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to do a follow-up. Go ahead, Gary.
I disagree. I would not. I think fight the band. Don't go up there and play into their hands because they have this way of acting like everybody is playing for the cameras or everybody's up there to waste their
right.
time. It's sick. I mean, so no, I wouldn't do that. We do want to ask the question of Councilman Chris Nettles. What's going on in your office, sir?
Ooh.
What's going on in your office, sir? Wait. We're hearing that there was an altercation with you and one of your staffers. And we understand that during the altercation, some other people came and tried to calm you down, sir, because we understand you were very loud. And after that, the young man has been posting on Facebook some very interesting posts. And so we are a talk show. So we were just wondering, sir, what's going on in your office? We're praying for the young man. We're just wondering what's going on over there in District 8. What y'all fighting about over there in your office, sir? Just asking. Wait, please, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Counselor, if you'd like to come on and talk to us about it, we would love to hear from you. So that's just putting it out there that we want to know. And we're praying for your staff. Yep. Say what, Chris?
I'm not trying to read into it, and I'm not trying to stir nothing or inflame anything that is going on because it's personal and it's sensitive. I respect that, but there seems to be an aside to this little seismic stuff going on with Nettles that it's on social media, and I'm just trying to put my finger on the pulse of it, but it seems like there's been a fracas they're trying to wreck James Smith. That there's, you know, like they're trying to tell him that he just needs to stay away from city council because they're tired of it. I've seen some stuff. I don't know. That's my interpretation of it. But I think Smith is, and it comes from people that he's been behind and he's back and he's been loyal to. And they just went Judas on him. That's how I'm reading it, personally.
I don't know. I'm not going to touch that. But Councilman Nettles, I will say one other thing. You have been very, very, how do you put it? When people come up and speak, you seem to be the critiquer on the dais. And you seem to want to critique every speaker and tell them what you feel like they did wrong. Councilman Nettles, no one ever critiques you when you mispronounce words or use words out of context. So I don't feel like it's fair, sir, that a speaker comes up and you critique them. I think when a speaker comes up, people should interpret it however they interpret it. And because, you know, whatever they said it. And I don't think that it should be up to your interpretation, sir. All due respect. So that's just my two cents. And last but not least, y'all, we're going to talk about Michael Crane. Councilman Crane, It was very unprofessional for you to tell someone that they talk about shit nobody else cares about. I mean, I'm so sorry. That's just not professional, sir. I think Crane told Bob Willoughby one time when Bob Willoughby said you took away our right to speak. It wasn't at a council meeting. It was at some other place. I guess it was somewhere in City Hall. But Crane told him, said, listen, Bob, you talk about shit nobody else cares about. And that's just unprofessional, y'all. I just don't get, like, ain't there some rules that they give these people when they become council people and mayor of how to conduct yourselves and talk to people? I mean, because I just don't get it. I don't know that I don't know that I would have took it on the chin like he took it if someone had said that to me. If I felt like I had a legitimate question and I was asking them a legitimate question and they basically said, you come down there and talk about shit nobody cares about. Did y'all feel like that was kosher or was he wrong to say that?
Like I said, he's one of the three stooges. Go ahead, Adrian.
Manuel Mata, Mata Field, I think.
Let's see. We may have lost Mata. Let me check.
Hey,
you know what? Mata was, as a matter of fact, no, we lost Mata. Mm-hmm.
But really,
I look at it like this. These people, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
you. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. These people, they move around like we can't run into them out here in these streets.
Yeah.
If I was on council, one thing I would not do, and because this is my character, I do it anyway. But if I was on council, the last thing I would be doing is sitting up there trying to make somebody feel some type of way, or you know, because guess what, I might have to run into you when I go outside these doors. You know, y'all don't have the same. These council members don't have the same, and hers is limited. Hers is only when, I guess, when she's moving around or whatever. But, again, we in Fort Worth, y'all. If everybody's not going to receive that nastiness the same, you know what I'm saying? Bob Willoughby, he's a humble older gentleman. He's a humble older gentleman. The next person might say, hey, you remember you was on the dais and you said XYZ and haul off and, you know, where I'm from. People say, okay, you talking that shit, you know, where I'm from, people who feel disrespected, they say, okay, that's all right. They be like, all right, that's all right. And it ain't nothing threatening. They just say, okay, you remember you was doing X, Y, Z? Talk that now. Do that now. I dare you. So they got to be mindful that y'all are not nobody that can't, nobody can't have, nobody has, don't have access to. Remember that.
I want to say.
People have access to you. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what Kerry brought up Michael Crane, and you know, we see Michael Crane, he's up there and he's real good at bobbing and weaving to stay off the ropes whenever he, you know, somebody comes at him, he hides out low key. Like you said, he was involved. He was the one that was freaking ribbing on Blaylock when Blaylock caught the wrath of that, but he's up to some schemes, too, and I will just sit there and say that I've heard some pretty radically concerning it seems like something's brewing over there on Las Vegas Trail, and there might be a dump truck backing up on his driveway to dump a load of disgrace on him, because I've got some information about some rogue sheriffs and task force law enforcement operations going on over there, and some slumlord kind of stuff that people have brought to his attention, and he's just basically not giving them any response and stuff like that, and a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's bad. I mean, this person is seems pretty passionate about, you know, the people factor over there with some of these apartments that, and then they're coming in there and they're doing no knock the 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 police and the sheriff's task force has done some no-knock warrants and busted down the wrong freaking people's house. And yeah. So, and he's not responding to any of that. He's not
Chris, let me just say this. Michael Crane is only concerned with one thing. The people of the Las Vegas Trail community, and I call them a people, they're dealing with a lot over there. They're dealing with impoverished. You know, they're dealing with a lot of drug addiction. They're dealing with a lot of crime. But you know what? It's not the people's fault. You know what I'm saying? It's not the people's fault because we know they can stop the flow of dollars from going anywhere they want to. Mike Crane is Mr. Tanglewood. If it ain't Tanglewood, he's not concerned. Mike Crane is doing everything outside of the little tidbit they say they're doing the Las Vegas Trail. That don't solve the people's problems. And those apartment. But we know Michael Crane is who he's looking at. And I think this, Chris, if he's turning an eye against this stuff, turning his eye, it's easy for the city to have to take over. Say, well, y'all been. The crime is up. This is an apartment complex. The crime is up.
Well,
one
thing I will just punch out of Michael Crane is he's a big time real estate guru, and what I do know that you can dig into the facts and find the factual scheme here that he is a very very he's a prostitute for the landlords in this city, so.
Well, what I was saying is, I'm thinking if I own an apartment complex, I'm considered a slumlord. I don't give a damn. I'm just collecting money. Eventually, the city gonna get tired, and they'll force that. They can force that person to sell. They can force that person to sell for their own. You know what I'm saying? So I know Michael Crane ain't stupid. But like you say, he's a developer. That's his bread and butter. Stupid by far.
I'm not going to jump on it, but I'm going to tell you what the Las Vegas Trail is. It's the new scheme. It's just another rerun of what we're talking – it was always my little rant that people kind of got frustrated with, but it's kind of my – what Las Vegas Trail is just a rerun of the playbook. What they're doing is they're letting the crime, the drugs, and all of this create a bunch of hype that they could have put it down. They could have corrected the things. They could shut down these nasty apartments. But what they want to do is project the image of this is a place that we need to steamroll and gentrify. And they've done it over and over and over again in Fort Worth. And it's disgusting. And people need to freaking get together and realize it and understand that what they're going to do is they're going to freaking eventually come in. They're talking about they're going to help these people, but they're going to displace these people. They're going to run them out eventually at one point in time when the property values drop. What they have already in place is building, turning that into a country club. They want to turn that into a country club. Same thing in, Como.
We got to go, y'all. Listen, y'all.
Yeah.
we promise y'all it's going to be another interesting show. So as it comes to a close tonight, we want to say to you, thank you so much each week for tuning in to our discussions here on West Talk Fort Worth. We appreciate you. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor to check out the show. And for our mayor and council, we need some decorum from the dais. Follow us on Facebook, y'all. We're on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. It's always popping over there, y'all. It's always updated daily with new information. So definitely check out the Let's Talk Fort Worth. Also, y'all, if you have a business, a product, a service, a nonprofit that you want to help get the word out about, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We will definitely help you get the word out, and we will work with your budget. Also, y'all, I was contributing for Newsbreak until this week when I started putting out. I started on the 16th doing stories about the city. Different topics, you know, a lot of them about the city council, because that's what we follow most closely here on the show. And suddenly having problems with my situation over there at Newsbreak. So the city doesn't play fair. And I'm going to leave it right there, and I'm going to be speaking with an attorney about that. But anyway, it is what it is. So keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what's going on downtown. Until next Friday night, good night.